Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw. It all starts now on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That's the two best words in sports, you know, game seven. No better guy to have on the mound to kind of navigate the emotions, the stuff. Max has been getting ready for game seven when he knew he was pitching game three. So all the confidence in the world in him and everyone.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app. Broadcasting live for the Hyundai Score Studios, I'm David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball like we do every Saturday morning. Today, greatly anticipating the two best words in sports. Game 7 of the World Series, wondering how close as well maybe the Cubs are to getting there next year, and how long it will take the White Sox to get back on that track. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, David. It's the best day of the year in baseball. It's the worst day of the year in baseball.
Yeah, it is, really.
It really is the combination. You won a Game 7. You won an intriguing series. You won two teams that have really knocked each other around and gone to the limit. That's what we have with the Blue Jays and the Dodgers in Game 7 tonight. You also have the third and fourth injury report for the Bears waiting for you tomorrow.
That's soon enough.
As soon as baseball season ends.
We're carving out this little two-hour niche. We're going to have a baseball conversation because today is the one, as you say, the best and the worst at the same time. And we're also going to talk about what the White Sox have in store as far as young pitching. Grant Taylor joins us at 9:30. Dan Kantrovitz, the Cubs director of minor leagues, joins us at 10 o'clock. Get his title correct, because I want to know where the next Trey Yesavage is coming from. Where is he in the Cubs system?
He's already there.
He's already there, and he will provide some insight. And we may be talking to a fine young pitcher in Grant Taylor, who has his sights set on pitching one day in October, or as we greet November today, the first day of the fall
Taylor's
classic.
Taylor's getting traded?
No, he's not getting traded. Come on, Bruce.
Sorry.
Save that cynicism for the interview. But let's start with, as John Schneider, the fine Blue Jays manager, said, Game 7, the two best words in sports. Max Scherzer is on the mound for the Blue Jays. Shohei Ohtani likely will be on the mound for the Dodgers. This is going to be a great matchup, historic. The series has already been epic, everything you could have hoped for in a World Series. And Bruce, I've got to believe, we'll start with the Blue Jays. when they were negotiating with Max Scherzer and talking to him about, what was it, a one-year, $15 million deal?
Right.
That this came up, that they said, Max, we want you to be ready in case we are in the World Series, we have a Game 7, and we want to hand you the baseball. This is what they got him for. This is what he's built for.
It's an excellent interpretation by you, David, because of the fact that it's something that we normally see the Dodgers do.
Yeah, it's very Dodger-like.
Right?
Yeah.
It's very Dodger-like. I mean, if you look at the starting pitchers for the Dodgers in this series, you have everybody starting games other than Yamamoto that have thrown in 22 or less games started during the year. One with 14, one with 10. These are starts during the season. This is their rotation during the World Series. It's a great rotation, but it's so Dodger-like that they are able to rest guys, get them back from injury, save them, if you will, with a $320 million payroll.
It's amazing, really, and it came down to the series with all of the pitching talent that they've accumulated and all of the arms they've accrued. It came down to Yamamoto has carried this team in this series. Yamamoto last night, I think, was what you had hoped he would be. And he has been everything you could have imagined in this series. He is the guy who, if they end up winning tonight, as I think they will. We'll get to that later, but Yamamoto could be justifiably your most valuable player of the World Series.
Can he be if they don't win?
No.
Okay.
I think you got to win
it. So that's happened once in World Series history.
I did not know that.
Right. And it was a technicality. So in 1960, Bill Mazeroski hits the walk-off home run in the ninth inning. The only walk-off home run in the seventh inning of a World Series. I mean, in the seventh game of a World Series ever. You know, we have Joe Carter walking off in Game 6 in 93. But the reality is this happened. So they used to take a vote of the writers in the ninth inning. And Richardson had this phenomenal series, right, where he got, I think, 12 hits, had a grand slam home run. Yankees put up an amazing amount of runs and still lost the World Series. And that happened. That's the only time in World Series history a losing team's player was voted the MVP of the series.
That's a nice little nugget. Did not realize that. I don't think it's going to happen this year. I think that Yamamoto has pitched well, but if the Blue Jays win, it's going to be Vladdy Guerrero. Yeah, who's your Vladdy? I love those T-shirts.
Right.
I'm going to get one of those. Right. If the Blue Jays win, I'm getting a T-shirt just like that.
Well, I mean, you talked about Yusevich and
oh, that's true.
I mean,
could we see him tonight?
I think so.
Could we see anybody in a Blue Jay uniform tonight?
I think in either uniform.
You could see, right. you know what would be poetic? Baseball is sometimes can deliver these kind of moments. But if you are rooting for the Dodgers, this is what you see. You see Ohtani, and then maybe you turn it over to the bullpen, and all of a sudden you got a one-run lead, and it's the ninth inning. And oh boy, here comes Clayton Kershaw. Here comes Clayton Kershaw to get the last three outs of his career. And he raises his fist. And that's the way that people would celebrate the Dodgers. Because I think everybody, the majority of people want to see the Dodgers lose because it's the best team money can buy. But I think the Kershaw moment is there. And it would be terrific symmetry for his career and poetry for the sport.
The Yankees used to be known as the evil empire.
Yes.
The Dodgers are now the evil empire, right?
Yeah, I guess. I guess.
It doesn't fit the L.A.
is.
Thing, right?
It
doesn't go with L.A., but it's certainly, you know, you root against them because they spend more money than anyone else. They hold players back.
That's so true, but I really like and respect Kershaw. That's the thing about It's easy to have a guy like that.
That's the strange part of the whole thing, David, is you like and respect a lot of Dodgers, even starting with Andrew Friedman, who's the head of baseball operations there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So they take something, it's like the rich kid in your neighborhood that grew up knowing that his father had a great business and he was going into it at age 12. He knew at 22 he was going into that business.
Set for life.
But that kid takes this great business
yeah.
and doubles and triples what it did. Okay? That's what Andrew Friedman has done with Dodgers and the way they monetize it, the way they do the baseball part, the way they find players elsewhere and develop them. He does it all.
It's a point well taken, because as much as we can complain rightfully about the payroll and how they have the great TV deal that allows them to do things other teams simply cannot, they also have the best farm system in baseball, the best minor league system that produces these prospects. They know how to develop them on time, and they rarely miss.
Right, but the thing is, you know, the great baseball fan that listens to our show every week is saying, yeah, but they paid one guy $700 million. Mm-hmm. They paid the pitcher that we're raving about that should be the MVP in Yamamoto $350 million. He's the highest paid pitcher in baseball.
That's true.
So there's $1 billion in two guys. It's like, should the Dodgers be in another league?
So I think that's a fair thing to point out, and we've talked about it. But then the Blue Jays, if they win, they've got a $500 million player.
Yeah.
So it was a takeaway from this series that is you have to be willing to spend.
They have a $280 million payroll.
Exactly.
And last year, what did we have? We had the two highest payrolls as well in the Dodgers and the Yankees.
So it was a takeaway from this series, either way, that you have to be willing to spend $500 million on a player.
Every other team's going, we're number three.
All right, let's take our fans into the ninth inning and go revisit that, because it was one of those moments. This series has provided so many of these kind of moments where you're going to remember, and it just seemed like it was magnified because of how unusual it was. So you had, first of all, a double get stuck in the outfield wall. You don't ever see that. Maybe at Wrigley Field,
right.
But it was a Wrigley Field-like moment. And then, even after that happened, let's go into how the game ended. You've got a two-run lead the Dodgers are clinging to. They bring in Tyler Glasnow because Sasaki was struggling. The rookie looked like he was struggling. And you're facing Andrés Giménez at the plate.
Well, he's in his second inning of pitching.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So we know that's in uncharted waters for him, right? So he's fading. The whole bullpen's fading. Bring in the starting pitcher. Take it away.
Who was warming up because they were going to use him in Game 7, and we may see him tonight.
Yeah.
So
Giménez
is at the plate. Runners are in scoring position. It's 3-1. He not only represents, he could tie the game.
One out.
There's one out. He could tie the game with a hit, or he could win it with a homer. He's the winning run at home plate. You could have another Joe Carter moment. And in Toronto, in that ballpark, they're dying for that moment. Then he hits a line drive. Basically, it's a sinking line drive. Kike Hernandez, he's looking at the scouting report, but he's saying, I need to play more shallow than this in left field. For some reason, he does that, and he moves in just at the right time. This is what happened.
The Dodgers, two outs from Game 7. The Blue Jays, one swing from a world championship. Giménez, floats one, left field. Hernandez makes the catch. Back to second. Game 7 tomorrow night. It's a game-ending double play. Kike Hernandez to Miguel Rojas.
And you look at that double play. Thank you to Fox and Joe Davis for that outstanding call. And it was Kike Hernandez, playoff Kike, with another big play. Another big October moment.
Well, it was a big moment on defense, a bad moment in base running, right? You can't get doubled off.
You can't.
Right? But
you can't.
At the same time, the base runner is going,
the thing is, Bruce,
I'm the tying run.
I'm going to tie the World Series.
I'm the tying
run. So, of course, he's going to cheat.
So here is the dilemma for base running 2025, mm-hmm. which is make sure you get a great secondary lead.
Mm-hmm.
A great secondary lead also puts you in double play area, right? For the great catch. It was a great catch, but what was better was the throw while he's still in motion.
Yes.
And the ability of Rojas at second to keep his foot engaged on the bag.
But Kike is also able to do that because he is an infielder playing the outfield.
He can play all nine positions.
And this is what MLB.com did such a great job of breaking this down. he was playing Jimenez 272 feet deep, 26 feet shallower than the average for left fielders against left-handed hitters this season, because he instinctively kind of sensed that with the Glasnow on the mound and this hitter, Jimenez, at the plate, that this was where he needed to be. And it was a feel, it was a hunch, and he played it perfectly.
Absolutely. And again, it's instinct, it's scouting report, it's everything, metrics that they talk about as well. So all that is included in giving us and baseball fans the best idea about not only it did happen, but why it happened.
Last thing on this before we move on to a Cubs issue. I think that, I know you want to have a word about Dave Roberts, and I want to point out this before we get there. John Schneider, to me, is somebody who has, in this World Series, emerged as an easy guy to root for. He's shown America what he's capable of. I love his post games. I love his pre games. He's been a guy that I think that you paid attention maybe from afar, but in this World Series, it has allowed this. I think throughout the course of the playoffs, when they were down 2-0 to the Mariners, I can remember listening to John Schneider and thinking, well, this guy really thinks they're going to win. And his moves have been sound. His personality has been likable. And he, I think, is a guy that has ingratiated himself to a lot of baseball fans who might not have known much about him.
The best baseball fan in Chicago, if they saw a lineup of four guys and they'd say, pick out John Schneider.
I couldn't do it.
Can't do it. Right?
That's right.
So, but the beauty, as you point out, David, of John Schneider is he's an outstanding baseball man.
Yes.
Okay? There's a lot of them being that are out there. They're unrecognized until they do something like this. Then all of a sudden you have the chance to be the next Joe Maddon, right? You know, the common guy that's been around baseball for a long time. And all of a sudden you are in charge of possibly the best team in baseball.
And he is 27 outs away from being that manager. Okay, so is Dave Roberts, who already has had a World Series victory, who has a ring. But he has managed his pitching staff in a very peculiar way.
Well, the way that he handled his number one pitcher in this series, okay, has been mind-boggling to me. Because he's asked him to do things that he wasn't asked to do during the regular season, okay? And when you do that twice, like he has, and stretch him out after 85 pitches in both games to a point where an outstanding outing becomes a loss, it's two things, David. It's one, you think you have the best chance of winning with him still on the mound, mm-hmm. which hasn't worked out. And two, you have zero confidence in your bullpen.
Zero.
Right.
Right.
So again, he has no confidence in the bullpen. As we move forward into Game 7, the reality of two teams that their pitchers have been maxed out, pushed, and the fact that you have Scherzer, who pitched well in both playoff series, now is going to be looked at for the second time in a week by one of the best hitting teams in baseball, although they haven't hit, in the Dodgers. And then Toronto, at the same time, going out there and trying to win with a makeshift pitching staff where their opening pitcher is probably going to pitch two innings.
You think Ohtani's going to give him two innings?
Tops.
Wow. But you have to start him because of the rules being what they are. If he comes in as a relief pitcher and then leaves, you lose a designated hitter.
So those two innings are so important, because if he can shut them down for two innings and the Dodgers get through on Scherzer and score, what do you think, three? Even if it's three, that's a big number right now.
I think that's a big number right now. You're right. Game 7, three runs is a lot.
So if they can score three in the first two innings, then all of a sudden, you know, you're going to be playing a little bit differently than you would before.
Bruce, the Dodgers, you're going to see Ohtani start. I think you're going to see Glasnow. You might see Blake Snell. You might see Kershaw. I just because of the moment.
I believe Koufax is there.
Koufax is there. He's sitting behind Mary Hart. Or no, he's sitting behind Prince Harry.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Prince. Well,
no, that was in L.A. All right. Yeah, in Toronto. Yeah. They're not going to be able to hear themselves think. Okay, so that's for the Dodgers. Who knows what they're going to do in terms of the order. I think it's a good point about Dave Roberts. Toronto's going to go with Max Scherzer, who's not going to want to give the ball up before the seventh inning. And yet he may have to, but then you're gonna see your Savage. You could see a variety of guys.
The way that, you know, Snell should have been talked about as a possible MVP of the series. Instead, mm-hmm. he's been left on the mound to have a deteriorated start.
I hope that it goes 18 innings and Will Klein wins the World Series in the 18th and is the winning pitcher, the kid from Eastern Illinois.
Well, Savage is going to be an interesting topic at the top of the hour for us, because in the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Dan Kantrovitz, the scouting director for the Chicago Cubs, minor league scouting, or the amateur scouting director, and the Cubs might have the next Trey Yosevich.
You'd love to have that possibility. All right, before we get to a break, Bruce, I want to address a looming issue for the Cubs, because after the World Series, it's over tonight, folks, and baseball season enters the offseason at midnight. So that means Thursday become declarations by players who are about to become free agents. There's a lot of jockeying that's going to be going on, negotiating in the next several days. Where are the Cubs with Shota Imanaga?
Well, you know what? It's a subject that we should put more than 2 minutes in. So let's move it toward the end of this hour.
Okay.
Because we need reaction at 312-644-6767.
I like
that. It's going to be a listener segment as well. Do you pick up the option on Imanaga or you don't?
Line up the phone calls and the texts. What do you think about Shota's future with the Cubs? This is what we're going to do the rest of the show. We've got Grant Taylor when we come back. We'll talk Shota after that. Dan Kantrovitz, the director of Cubs Scouting, joins us at the top of the hour. We're talking Game 7. We're talking Cubs. We're talking White Sox. We're talking Inside the Clubhouse. David Haw, Bruce Levine, here until 10:30 today, because we've got a football game right after us. So keep it right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
2-2. In the air to center field, Robert Jr. and Grant Taylor will retire the feet-long road. He's had to deal with adversity coming back from Tommy John surgery in 2023. My draw. Throw off the bag, but Elko, the tag is made for out number two. 0-2 pitch. On the ground to Mydroth. He will make the throw over. And in his first big league appearance.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haugh, Bruce Levine here until 10:30 talking baseball today before the Ohio State-Penn State football game on this radio station. Thank you to CHSN for those highlights from this past year from White Sox pitcher Grant Taylor, who joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Good morning, Grant. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you for joining us. And maybe you can help me out here because I just didn't know how to introduce you as a White Sox relief pitcher or White Sox starting pitcher. Which way would you prefer?
We'll see. That's a conversation I'm going to have with the coaches in front office first.
Grant, it was great getting to know you this year and talking to you at your locker after games, before games. It seemed like, confidence-wise, you came in an extraordinarily confident pitcher, even though you didn't have a great amount of time in professional ball. If I'm right about that, where does that come from? Where did you develop your persona and the confidence in what you do?
Yeah, I think it was kind of over the course of, you know, college baseball and then, you know, in the minor leagues. You know, what I've learned is, you know, the only thing you really can do on the mound is believe in yourself. And if you don't believe in yourself, then you're going to make mistakes. And it's almost like the hitters can sniff it out. So I try to be as confident as I can, you know, believe in the pitches and be convicted in everything I throw. And, you know, let it happen.
You excited White Sox fans in your 36 appearances, and it looks like things bode well for the future. What were you proudest of this season?
I think I was most proudest of September. I had a little adversity in the middle of the season, was able to turn it on at the end, and you know, pretty happy with how I finished. I wish the season was a little bit longer so I could have kept going, but yeah, September.
I remember talking to you after one game where it didn't go so well, and you told me that you thought this was a positive learning experience for you as far as going back, watching it, your work in between, and the fact that, you know, big league hitters on the other team are there for a reason. They're really good. So when you make just even small incremental corrections, what have you learned from more negative results rather than positive ones?
Yeah, I think, you know, I just learned that you got to stick with your plan, stick with your approach. You know, I was striking a lot of guys out, wasn't walking a whole lot of guys, but I was getting a lot of singles. So that means, you know, my approach was I was doing things right. Like I was, you know, getting hitters out early, getting, you know, not letting them have free bases. I was just making mistakes in between counts to, you know, keep them in the count, keep them in the at bat. So, you know, kind of, you know, switch my pitch plan, but, you know, stick to, you know, attacking hitters, the way I had been. And I think, you know, switched it up just a little bit, you know, try to make, you know, positive misses within the zone. And, you know, it seemed to work for me towards the end.
What did you learn the most about yourself or your approach, or maybe something you didn't know at the beginning of the season before you made your major league debut? About your ability or your potential?
Yeah, I think I learned that my fastball plays at the big league level. Like it's really hard to determine what's gonna be a good pitch in the big leagues before you get there. There was some stuff that I could do in Double A that, you know, didn't work in the big leagues, and there was some stuff I could do in the big leagues that doesn't work in Double A. So it's just, you know, kind of learning what pitches work for you and sticking to it and, you know, kind of adapting that and, you know, kind of morphing that as you go on.
You'll be starting 2026 with a new pitching coach to be determined by the White Sox. What does that mean to you as far as we know Brian Bannister is the director of pitching? I'm sure you're talking to him a lot about your off-season plans. But starting with a new pitching coach, how is that going to impact you moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, going to be exciting. You know, get to know someone. You know, I'm confident that we'll hire someone really good. I think we made a really good hire with Will Venable, so I think we'll do the same with our pitching coach. You know, I don't know how it'll affect me. I think every pitching coach has a, you know, some different things they can add. You know, he may be a pitch plan guy, he may be a mechanics guy. So we'll just have to see in the spring what we end up hiring.
Grant, I kidded. And we're talking with Grant Taylor, the fine White Sox right-handed pitcher here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I kidded coming in about how to introduce you, whether a reliever or a starter, because there's so much conversation. You could see stardom in both paths, whichever one you take. What are some pros and cons in terms of being a relief pitcher in today's MLB, where I think that the definition of a starter continues to be kind of evolving? How do you view the pros and cons of what's ahead for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously pitching in relief, throwing in the ninth inning, you know, pitching and save opportunities is a lot of fun. It's very exciting. I think, you know, pitching in one inning roles, you get to, you know, kind of stick with your bread and butter a little bit more. You can kind of walk in and say, what do I got today? And, you know, hopefully you're only out there for nine pitches. So, you know, you can throw majority fastballs. You can, you know, if the fastball is not there, you can throw majority sliders. You know, I think that's a pro, but also, you know, sometimes I like to, you know, mix pitches a little bit, which I think would be a lot of fun, you know, figuring out how to throw, you know, 6-7 innings and getting guys out three times.
Watching this World Series, if you have, and seeing it, whether it's off and on, watching Trey Savage, it has to excite any young pitcher who has the quality of stuff that you have. When you see a guy like this start his trek from Class A this year all the way through to being a dominant pitcher in the World Series, what are your thoughts about what he's gone through and how that impacts, do you think, I mean, we can't for sure tell, but do we think that is going to impact the way front offices look at young pitchers from now on as far as getting them to the major leagues quicker?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of guys in the league right now who have shown just how dominant they can be as young pitchers. You know, when you think about, you know, Yosefage, you think about, you know, Schlitter with the Yankees, you know, Hurston Waldrop, you know, this year after he got called up was outstanding. You know, Paul Skenes is 23. So, you know, there's just a huge, you know, number of guys that are coming up and having amazing success at, you know, 22, 23, 24 years old. So they're proving that it can be done. You know, the minor league guys are looking at them and, you know, it's the path is there. They just have to follow it.
What's your off season looking like? You doing anything exciting? And you mentioned Paul Skenes. How are you guys former LSU teammates? You keep in touch in the off season?
Yeah, I saw him, you know, a few weeks ago. We went to the LSU South Carolina game.
Oh boy.
You know, it was, you know, a good time. Got to, you know, spend some time with a friend. You know, off season has mainly just been training. I started training a few weeks ago and, you know, been excited about that and, you know, trying to get as many rounds on the golf course as I can.
How would you explain LSU football at the moment?
Excited for what's to come. We'll see. I think the interim guy, everything I've seen, all his interviews, seems like the, you know, the program's going to be in a good spot until next year. You know, I think the team's got a whole lot of talent. We'll just see how they finish up.
The San Francisco Giants have hired a manager directly out of college with no professional experience. You played in a high-profile college program. What do you think the main challenges might be for a guy who recruits and has as much control as college coaches have, as opposed to your experience with a major league manager and the way that he has to go about getting the most out of big league players?
Yeah, I think it'll be, you know, a unique opportunity. I think it'll be a lot of fun for Vitello. You know, college is a lot of, you know, camaraderie. You're with the same guys for the better half 12 months, and no one's going anywhere. You're not worried about the trade deadline. You're not worried about free agency, whatever. So you get really close with those guys, and I think that a lot of college programs are getting really, really good at creating a close-knit group. So I think it'll be exciting to see what Vitello can do with, a major league club. But, that's got guys spanning from, 22 to 35, and, figuring out how to bring those guys closer together, because, the closer teams seem to have some more success.
Grant, before I let you go, just wanted to know what your mindset is heading into this offseason, approaching spring training. You guys had...
He's a starter, David.
I'm not worried about that necessarily. You guys had a core of young players who were, like yourselves, making their major league debuts this year. Rookies who got White Sox fans excited again about going to the ballpark, watching on television, and seeing the product. How would you describe what happened in the second half of the season, especially as after you came up, then there was a procession of other players and everyone sort of made a strong impression to get people kind of revved up again about the Sox?
Yeah, I think we as players are very excited. We saw after the All-Star break just how exciting our offense can be. And, a lot of those guys are really, really young. Going to have a lot of guys returning. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun, on the offensive side. And then you have a lot of dudes who are, in their first, second year of Major League Baseball on the mound that, had some success this year, like Mike Vassell, Shane Smith, Davis Martin. I think it's going to be, we're all very, very excited. We're all expecting each person to, go into the offseason and get their work done and, do what they need to do to be successful. Because, to our benefit, we're all young. Like, we're all at the beginning of our career. So we should, be together for at least, 5 years.
Best of luck, Grant.
And in closing with you, first day of spring training, I would suggest you walk into Chris Getz's office and say, Mr. Getz, with all due respect, I'm a starting pitcher.
Yeah. Tell him Bruce said told you to say that.
Yeah, that's not going to help you much.
Grant, I'm going to say Bruce said.
Grant, have a great offseason and look forward to talking to you again. Thank you for joining us.
Sounds good. Thank you all.
Grant Taylor, thank you very much. The fine White Sox right-hander.
He's a starter, David.
You think that's the way it's going to go?
Oh, come on. I mean, what did we see Mark Burley do when he first started with the White Sox?
He was a reliever.
What did Chris Sale do?
Those are 20 years ago, though.
What did Garrett Crochet do?
Oh, that's a good comp. That's a good comp. If the White Sox have a right-handed version of Garrett Crochet, wow. Then you're onto something. I do think his ceiling remains very high. I do think he made a strong.
Look, there's nothing wrong with him being a Hall of Fame closer for the next 10 years, right? But with that arm, that mentality.
You think starters are harder to find?
People got to listen to this young man at 23 with only very brief major league experience. This is a starting pitcher.
It's a confident young man. There's no doubt about that. What should the Cubs do about Shota Imanaga? 312-644-6767. Bruce is going to tell you what he would do. We'll talk about it next. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670. This.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. The real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
When we signed Shota, he sort of shown us his production over the last 2 years. He would have taken that in a heartbeat. So not only has he produced for us, but you know, he's just a great teammate, you know, terrific asset to, you know, to the organization. Obviously, we have decisions to make, and we have discussions to make, and like we over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll do that. But I've got nothing positive things to say about Shota.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse. That was Jed Hoyer a few weeks ago. Here's what the Cubs face with Shota Imanaga. They could extend his contract and pick up the option, 3 years, $57 million. They could not do that, and he has a player option for 2026 at $15 million. And if he turns that one down, he could come back if they make him a qualifying offer and he accepts it for about $22 million. Or he could turn that one down and go into free agency and take his chances and talents elsewhere.
And the Cubs get a draft pick.
And the Cubs will get draft pick compensation.
Yep.
Those are the four possible paths, Bruce. Which one do you think he goes down?
I think they reject the 3 years. I think he rejects the year. And I think they end up with a qualifying offer, which he'll have to let them know very quickly if he's accepting. So they only he only has 10 days or less to let them know if he's taking the qualifying offer.
Based on the second half of his season, I don't think the Cubs have any business extending him for 3 years.
The qualifying offer is $22 million.
I think that's a worthwhile gamble for next year.
What about for him?
For him, I think he loves Chicago. He loves singing in the shower. He loves the way that Wrigley Field fans have embraced him.
They have showers, the other 29.
They don't have Go Cubs Go. That's the word.
You can still sing that.
But I think he wants to be a Cub. I think he chose the Cubs, and there's still value in winning and getting to that next step.
You know, a 32-year-old pitcher has so many bullets, right?
If they make him a qualifying offer, $22 million guaranteed, I think he takes it because of everything that comes with being a Cub.
So the option is $20 million, $20 million, and $18 million.
Mm-hmm.
If the Cubs pick it up, is that too much projection for you for a guy that gave up 23 home runs in his last 13 starts?
I don't want to make any commitment financially. I guess I'll talk around it. I don't want to make any commitment financially that commits me beyond next year. To Shota.
Because of the possibility of a change in the way that they pay?
Because there's the potential of the work stoppage. There's the potential in the slippage in his ability. Mm-hmm. And I just think those two things combined make me a little bit skittish about extending him beyond that.
I mean, I see that. You know, also, if you say there's a lockout and he, at 33, he misses an entire year, then what are you expecting to see in the last year?
And what do you get?
Yeah.
We'll get through a couple quick phone calls. Let's see what the people think. 312-644-6767. Bruce is in Scottsdale. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I kind of agree with you guys. I think we ought to go with the qualifying offer there, especially because of the unknown for 2027. But and I don't think the Ricketts family will pay 3 years with the 2027 lockout probably coming. So I think Shota's a good number four for us, but I think we've got to find a right-hander that throws some heat, that's a strikeout pitcher, like a Cease or somebody like that, to throw into there as number one or number two, along with hopefully Steele, Italian, and then Shota could be thrown in there, number four, number five.
Don't forget Cade Horton. Thanks, Bruce, for the phone call. Bob is in Arlington Heights. Bob, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Well,
Good morning. I agree with both of you. I just can't see picking up a three-year deal on him. I believe we've seen the best of what we're going to see. And if you look back, you know, his, you know, the recency bias notwithstanding, if I could look 3 years ahead and say, okay, this guy's going to start keeping the ball in the park and things are going to change, I don't think you're going to see, you know, what we've seen in the World Series. We've seen, you know, we see a guy who's got six pitches. We see a guy who throws complete games. We're not going to see that with Shota. So pick up next year, see what happens. And if he doesn't want that, then move on.
Let's squeeze in Mitch and Byron. Mitch, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Good morning. I think you bring Shota back. You don't know what you're going to have with – you hope that your front three in a perfect world is Steele, Horton, and Jackson Wiggins, but you don't know that. You hope for it, but you don't know it. I don't think the Cubs have so much depth in starting pitching that we can just dismiss Shota. He was an all-star in 2024. He was – well above average in the first half of this season. What are you paying Tommy Hotovy for? Make Tommy Hotovy and the pitching lab earn their money and get Shota's problems fixed and bring him back. I think he's an asset.
Excellent call, Mitch. Bruce, last word.
Last word, move the Wrigley Field walls back 10 feet. And you have a look, people forget this guy was 15-4.
I do. I'm guilty of that. You're right. I do.
2024.
I do. I overlooked that.
And the one caller called made a great point. It's like he gives you professional automatic depth at that position. Maybe not the sexy thing that you're looking for in a Yamamoto who's going to strike out 8 to 10 guys in a game. He's going to give you six really good innings in an era where six really good innings is very important.
Dan Kantrovitz is in charge of the director. He's the director of scouting for the Cubs. You heard the name Jackson Wiggins mentioned. I wonder what the Cubs think of his future in light of everything going on in today's postseason. We'll talk to him next here in Inside the Clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Show to the money.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
There's a deep fly ball to left center field. It's got a chance. Gone. Matt Shaw. Cubs lead 6-0.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine, talking baseball as we do every Saturday morning. That was a highlight from Matt Shaw, the Cubs' fine rookie third baseman last year. Thank you, Pat Hughes, and 670 The Score. Now joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline is the man who is something to do with drafting, Matt Shaw, the director of scouting, Dan Kantrovitz. He joins us now. Download the Circa app today. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Enjoying the World Series. And let's start there if we can. If you're watching, how would you describe your reaction to how the young pitching has played such a role in with the Blue Jays? We look at Trey Yesavage and just how remarkable his ascent has been.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable, and it makes you envious and makes you jealous. It's just really impressive, you know, when you see somebody like that come up from the draft and start to contribute in a championship caliber capacity for another club. And you know, it always you go back and say, well, what did I think of this guy when he was coming out of the draft? And so, you know, I think you're, you know, we're only human, and that's probably the first reaction there. But you know, getting to know Trey a little bit during the amateur process, you know, he's a wonderful human being, and as you can see, he's got the skills on top of it. So I think you know, from that standpoint, it's you know, you sit back and just sort of. You smile when you see somebody with that kind of performance right now.
Dan, baseball is a copycat business like any other. Success usually bleeds over into other organizations or businesses when they see it happen. How do you think the impact of a young pitcher like this can impact the conversations in your front office and other front offices, in the way that you approach even a outstanding young pitcher like Jackson Wiggins moving forward?
Yeah, I think one thing that we're learning probably, you know, and it's moving as fast as it's ever been, is that pitchers just change really quickly right now. It's always been a copycat business, as you say, Bruce. So, you know, we go back and say, well, what, you know, what did we miss on a certain player, or what can we borrow from, you know, how this organization is doing things? Because, you know, you have to keep doing that to sort of stay on the cutting edge or get to that point. But I think, you know, with pitching in particular, it's one of those things where you can make a little switch, you know, whether it's change your fingers on the seam of the ball, and all of a sudden you've got a sweeper, or put on 15 pounds, which sounds like a lot, but it happens more often than you think nowadays in that first year. You know, the pitcher hasn't been exposed to certain things, or you know, whatever it may be. I think we've learned that pitchers change really quickly. And so I think our challenge as an amateur staff is to try to identify, you know, what traits pitchers might have as amateurs that might enable that change really quickly. I think in the case of Trey Savage, it might be a little different. It doesn't seem like he learned a new pitch or all of a sudden this change clicked for him. But I think you're seeing that across the league right now. That, you know, pitchers can just change on a dime, and we're trying to figure out how to unlock any kind of value we can as quick as we can.
We're talking with Cubs Director of Scouting, Dan Kantrovitz, here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So obviously that's a comp that every team is making in their major league city to see who the trade you Savage and what effect that might have on the next young pitcher. But Dan, I wonder if a more applicable comp might be, did the way that Cade Horton developed and was used and really intelligently got the most out of him this season affect the way that maybe Jackson Wiggins is brought along through the system?
I think it's human nature to try to say, well, if Cade could do this, then let's have Jackson do this. Or if we're seeing Trey Savage do this, you know, in the big leagues, then, you know, maybe our top guy right now in the minor leagues, Jackson, could do the same. You know, I think we're all hesitant to make those just immediate comparisons because they're all different and everybody develops at a different rate. I mean, I think, you know, the Cade Hortons of the world and maybe the Trey Savages of the world, I mean, they don't come along very often, and that's really difficult to have a blueprint to repeat that kind of ascent consistently. So, you know, I think nobody wants to put that kind of pressure on Jackson right now. I think everybody wants to just make sure that, you know, he comes into camp healthy. He seems to be on track to do that. And then at that point, make the assessment for, you know, how rapid or not his ascent might be. But I think, you know, everybody in our organization is really excited about him. And there's other arms, too, that I think, you know, might surprise some folks. But when you get Jackson out there with the stature he's got, the 100-mile-an-hour heater and, you know, the swing and miss capacity on his spin, I think it's natural to sort of go down that path, and I understand it. But I don't think anybody wants to say he's the next Trey Savage just in terms of putting that pressure on anybody, you know?
Dan, I wonder what the way a scouting director of an organization looks at development of players when it comes to the manager. And you've had such great success over the past 2 years that, you know, you were asked to interview for the Baltimore job as their general manager and said, no, I'm happy where I'm at with the Cubs. Thank you for asking. But when you have guys in the major leagues, Cam Smith, your number one pick in 24, Matt Shaw, number one pick in 23, Cade Horton in 22, Jordan Wicks in 21, all of them developing and have been major league players of some quality. And you see, you turn over this to a major league staff once they get there. How vested are you in that development when you see Council and his people try to develop your guys and go, no, you're missing this right here. No, you're not understanding what Wicks can do here. How much of that father feeling do you have with the players that you draft and turn over?
Yeah, it's a great question because a lot. And I'd love to sit here and tell you that, you know, once the guys make that transition to the big leagues that, you know, robotically we kind of just passively watch them. And that's not the case. And I think what makes this all gel is that when I do think of things like that, that, hey, maybe we're missing this here, or when other folks see that and think the same thing, then they, you know, pick up the phone or send a text and immediately communicate that. And I think that's healthy, you know, and I think that it takes a village to get these guys, you know, into the best versions of themselves. And, you know, I think if somebody's not sitting there thinking, well, actually, when we drafted this guy, we were thinking a little bit different. You know, we were thinking maybe he can make this tweak, or we knew this about him. If we weren't then communicating that to, you know, oftentimes it's our player development staff because, you know, they go up through the minor leagues first. But, you know, when guys go reach the big leagues so quickly, as has been the case with our last few picks, you know, sometimes that direct line of communication goes right to our big league staff and says, oh, what did you consider this? Did you consider that? But at the end of the day, we trust those guys. Those guys are such professionals, such experts in what they do, that rarely are they not thinking of something already, or have they not tried something that we're thinking about. And that just makes us, you know, smile and happy and trust the process even more. But no doubt are we, you know, at times thinking, you know, and I feel this at times, have that, you know, paternal instinct where, you know, you feel like the, you know, you're the parent of these kids that you've drafted, and you're like, well, why aren't we using him like this? Why aren't we using him like that? And and everybody gets it. Everybody gets that you've got that emotional tie to him. And I think as long as you communicate it, and as long as you do it in a respectful way, it just makes everybody that better.
Dan, I think any Cub fan who watched this season closely, especially the second half, wonders this. What does the finished product of Moises Ballesteros look like? What does he play? What position is he going to fit into? Is he just going to be a designated hitter? Does he have other tools? Because what he showed in a small sample size was pretty exciting, I would think, from a fan standpoint, from a player development standpoint. He has definite hitter talent, and you wonder how it all fits together.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know if I know the answer to that, but I think with Moises in particular, it makes me think of, you know, one of those sort of old tricks you use as a scout, where you ask all the other players, like, who's the best hitter, you know, or who's the best pitcher, and sometimes, you know, you can't see every game, so they might know best, right? They're around the kids every day. They're playing against them, and I'm not saying this is the case for everybody, but when you casually survey a lot of our minor leaguers and say, you know, hey, you know, who's got the best stick in our organization, and it's rare that you know, when it comes to just like a pure hit tool, that they're not you know, they're not saying, you know, Bally. So I think it, you know, in some cases, it's just kind of, we're just going to let it naturally play out and let that hit tool, shine and then kind of, you know, figure out the rest. But, I think, there's a number of different pathways that it could take to, you know, where he could add some value to our big league team. So, I think it's more just excited to see how that transpires, and it's, I think it's pretty difficult to handicap that right now, where that might be.
Dan, I'm going to ask you about Matt Shaw, and I have to tell you, the most shocked person in the world was me when I saw him on the backfields in Mesa trying to learn how to command a position he played very little of at third base this spring, and then seeing a guy that's a finalist for a gold glove at third base, shocking in a very positive way. I'm going to ask you something different. What type of second baseman would Matt Shaw be if after next year Nico Hoerner decided not to be a Chicago Cub any longer?
Oh, goodness. Well, I think the thing that Matt has showed us, and you know, I should know better than to doubt somebody's ability defensively, because I remember going back to, you know, when I was assistant GM in Oakland and we acquired Marcus Semien, you know, and at that point he was a below average third baseman, let alone even a Gold Glove shortstop, and you know, defense is one of those things that, if you've got the right mentality, if you've got the right people around you, you can get better. And it's as hard as it might be to visualize at the time. And I will certainly say that it was very difficult to envision Matt Shaw this year becoming a Gold Glove candidate, let alone at his, a position he'd never played. But when you invest in the person in the draft, which we did with Matt, and then when you combine that with the infrastructure that we have, it just goes to show you that what's possible on that end of the spectrum on the defensive side, and how much improvement you can make. I don't think any of us, myself included, would have ever predicted what he did, at third base this year. And we all thought he was a great hitter. We all thought coming out that he'd move quick. And I still think he's probably got a little bit to go there in terms of realizing his offensive potential. But you just got to tip your cap to Matt, and you got to tip your cap to some of our folks in player development and on the big league staff for getting him to that spot defensively, because that's not something that that on the amateur staff and myself in particular that we ever would have thought would have happened at third base and this quickly. So it's been really fun to watch. And when somebody when there's a pleasant surprise like that, you just you smile and realize how talented the people are around you that kind of make that happen, and you continue to bet on the person and the human and the work ethic and the draft to be pleasantly surprised like that.
You're still going to have to answer the question.
So remind me what the actual question was, Bruce.
Can he play all-star quality second base if that position opens?
So I guess I wouldn't I wouldn't put anything past him, is my point. I think when he was a shortstop in college, so the thinking is that you could slide across the defensive spectrum, whether that's second, whether that's third. I think it's going to take some work. There's nothing that he brings to the table defensively that would preclude him from playing that position, whether it's a footwork issue, whether it's an arm strength issue, whether it's a mindset. So I think typically when you can play shortstop, with some work, you can assume that a playable second baseman is could be part of that portfolio. So without speculating on if he might get that opportunity or what that means for the big league team, that's not really that's outside of my purview. I think just from a skill standpoint, from a ability standpoint, if he can do what he did at third base this year, I think it'd be silly to bet against him that he could play second base.
Dan, thanks so much for your time this morning. Enjoy Game 7. Look forward to talking again.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Dan Kantrowitz, the Cubs director of scouting, dodging Bruce's questions quite deftly.
Well, it's a great
insight. Yeah, I love
it's a stupid question to ask from the perspective of you have this future or as early as this year Gold Glover at one position. Why would you change him to the other? Well, the reason is he might be a 20 home run hitter. You might have a 35 or 40 home run hitter that you can go and get to play third base.
It's a good point, Alex Bregman. I think you make a really good insight there, Bruce. And we'll talk more about this throughout the offseason, which begins in earnest later tonight after World Series Game 7. We need to get out of here pretty soon, but take care of a couple things. Reminding you that tomorrow, before Chicago takes on Cincinnati in a football game down there, 9 to noon, your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 Score. Olin Cruz, Pat Manley, and Mully live at Revolution Brewing. Great spot, 3340 North Kedzie Avenue. Get you set for the game. Then immediately after the game, Great Clips postgame show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Arturo Tire. All of it heard right here on the Score and the Odyssey app. And Bruce, I know you know this. Bulls are 5-0. The Blackhawks are hot. And all of their games are on the Chicago Sports Network. Visit subscribe.chsn.com. Sign up for your free 7-day trial of the all-access plan. 300 live games per year. Chicago Sports Network, your home stream advantage.
Bulls go 73-9.
Is that all? They're on their way. I really enjoyed talking to Dan Kantrowitz because I think Treya Savage is one of the great stories of the postseason. His first game came in Dunedin, Florida, in front of 327 fans at the beginning of this season. And then he did what he did at the World Series, and we may see him tonight. We may see him tonight in Game 7, Bruce. What happens tonight?
What happens tonight is both pitchers are out of there after three innings, and it's a 10-9 final with the Blue Jays winning out because of the Dodger bullpen.
I can't believe you're picking 10-9. That is a softball game, Bruce. And Game 7 of the World Series is going to be 10-9?
To beat up teams with offenses that have seen these pitchers numerous times so far.
This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. Max Scherzer's going 7. He's going 7, and they're not going to be able to get the ball out of his hands. He's going to...
It's only one game.
He's staring down John Schneider. And you know what?
It's only one game, though.
It's going to be close.
He can't pitch 7 innings in one game.
Yes, he can. Okay. It's going to be 2-2 in the 7th. And you know what? They're going to go to the bullpens. And then they're going to go to the bullpen, and Ohtani's going to come up, top of the 9th. See ya. Bye-bye. Shohei Ohtani homers. Dodgers win. Kershaw gets the final out. He rides off into the sunset, and everybody's going to hate the Dodgers. But I picked Dodgers in 7 to begin with. I'm going to stick with that now.
You didn't. You picked the Dodgers in 6.
I did. Okay. Thank you for reminding me.
So did I.
Thank you for listening,
okay?
Bruce.
We both picked the Dodgers in 6. So no creative changing of your picks.
We got a lot of people to thank today, beginning with Grant Taylor, the fine White Sox right-hander, Dan Kantrovitz, director of scouting, Tyler Breidenbaugh. Thank you very much for doing all you did behind the glass. And Bruce, thank you for setting up this short show.
Free agency looming, and we will talk much about it next week as the GM meetings will begin after next weekend. Looking forward to it, David.
I can't wait. Enjoy the best day and the worst day of the baseball season tonight. Game 7, World Series. Soak it all in, baseball fans. We'll be back next week with Inside the Clubhouse. See you Monday. I'm Molly and Haw. Thank you for listening to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Stay tuned. Ohio State, Penn State is next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.